So I was told that we're supposed to talk about the Chag that many people celebrate tonight. It's Nitka this year, Yom HaTzmut. If one does not say, of course, you know, the classic response to Yom HaTzmut is from the Panovich Rav. Panovich every year still flies the Israeli flag in Yom HaTzmut. It was a condition of government funding, and it's a minhag that goes back to the Panovich Rav, who was one of the great Gedolei Torah. And in the Panovich Rav's time, they did not say Tachanun, but they did not say Hallel. So a Zionist person said to the Panovich Rav, you're supposed to be such a supporter of Medinat Yisrael, why don't you say Hallel? What type of Zionist doesn't say Hallel in Yom HaTzmut? So he says, what do you mean? He follows Ben-Gurion's minhag on Yom HaTzmut. Ben-Gurion didn't say Hallel, didn't say Tachanun. Meaning he didn't, he says that's the biggest minhag of all. But the emes is, you know, obviously, as you know, through all the different years, that there are many chilukei deis about this, and I just want to give you some perspective. I'm not going to give you any psak. It's not my makom for a psak, and I think the Rosh Yeshiva probably talked about it also, and other people, and I see all sorts of signs. Zionism, the real story, you know, Zionism, the true perspective, so I'm not here to tell you the true thing. But just some horrors just to think about, and some things that will be part of your Yediyas HaTorah, which are always kedai. First, you know that there is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban, regarding the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs enumerates 613 mitzvahs, and at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban has Hasagos, in which he says certain mitzvahs the Rambam didn't include and should have included. Now, the Shteitzach, that's always going to be a problem, because if you have 613, whenever you add one, you got to take out another one. So the Ramban deals with what he includes, what he doesn't include, etc. But one of the important Taisafais that the Ramban puts in is he adds to the Minyan of Taryag a mitzvah called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And this is based on a pasuk in Parshas Masai, V'rishtem osa v'shaftim ba. You shall inherit the land, and you shall settle the land. Zok de Ramban, zuhi mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban is beferish. It's not toloy on zman hamikdash or zman hamelech. It's noheg b'chol eis v'chol sha'a. Now, what is a little less familiar to people is, when the Ramban is then masbir yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban actually says there are four separate components, four subheadings of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Subheading number one is the mitzvahs kibush. That taka means there is a chiyuv d'oraisa on Am Yisrael to conquer, if necessary, all territory that is within the Torah's boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Now, as you know, the boundaries of the Torah, there's machloksim exactly how to interpret the psukim, but suffice it to say, the boundaries are much bigger than the modern state of Israel. So according to the Ramban, we'll talk about the Rambam, according to the Ramban, we wouldn't be talking about giving back shtachim on the West Bank, we would be talking about chalokim of the East Bank of the Yarden, which was the land of the 2.5 tribes. Yeah.
What does he do with the Gemara in Kesubas?
I'll get to the Gemara in Kesubas. That's a very important Gemara, obviously. Component number two, this is Ramban. Remember, I'm giving you just the Ramban right now. Component number two is, even when Jewish people have the lands, we're not allowed to leave the land in a state of shemama. Shemama is desolation. We are mechuyev to either settle it, make it agriculturally suitable, industrially, residentially, do something with it. Don't just leave it like in a worthless state. Now that, by the way, the Mefarshim say you could be Mekayim Meirachik, meaning even if you give money to beautify Eretz Yisrael, so you're in Golas, that inyan of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you're Mekayim, because that's kind of on the heftza of the land. You're making the land Miyushav. It's not referring to the Gavra, but you're Miyashev, the land. Now the third component is very, very interesting, because it's almost as if the Ramban had Nevuah. He says that Nichlal in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is an Isser for Am Yisrael to be Machshiv any other place as the Jewish national home. Meaning, even if you're living somewhere else, but you have to regard Eretz Yisrael as the country of the Jewish people. Now, the reason I say this is a Nevuah, because as you know, Theodor Herzl, who was the founder or the dominant figure in political, non-religious Zionism, at one point towards the end of the 19th century, was willing to consider Uganda because he felt it would be hard to get permission for Jews to settle here en masse. So he was willing to consider Uganda as a Jewish state. Again, I'm not even here to dump on him, because from his perspective, the only issue was to save the Jews from the anti-Semitism of Europe. There was no particular religious Shi'ifa involved. So he says Uganda would be good too. But the Ramban is taka saying it is usher to make any other country the Jewish country. So whether it's Baltimore, Teaneck, or Muncie, Lakewood, we can't say that Das Heist, the Jewish, that's not the Jewish Medina. The Jewish Medina is only, or the Jewish country is only Eretz Yisrael. There was also a proposal, if any of you are from Texas, Galveston, Texas. They wanted, which used to be an island, now it's filled in. There was a proposal to make that a Jewish state. And Stalin, in his infinite Rachmanis, was willing to make the province of Georgia a Jewish state. Instead, they went a little further east and made it Siberia. It became de facto the Jewish state. So many Jews went to Siberia. But the Ramban says that would be us. Now, those three components, in a sense, are not individual mechayvim. They're really mechayvim of the tzibor. To conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, to make it Miyushev, and not to have any other national country. It is the fourth component, that is the individual achrayas, that says every yachid v'yachid, unless they have a heter, and we'll talk about that, is mechuyev as a yachid to make their dira in Eretz Yisrael. That's the one that's mechayev, every person to live here, unless there is a heter. Now, keep in mind, for Shtetzach, even the Ramban is meida that there are heterim. I mean, the Ramban is not saying 100% every single Jew has to leave. Well, we'll talk about why didn't he leave until he had to. I mean, the Ramban lived most of his life in Spain. But the heterim are the heterim of the Gemara, that it's usher to leave Eretz Yisrael, and the Ramban learns that there's a chiyuv to move to Eretz Yisrael, unless you have three heterim. The heterim are Lilmot Taira, Lisa Isha, and some type of getter of Parnassa. Lilmot Taira, which sounds a little mudna today, right? In other words, I'm allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael in order to learn Taira. By and large, we would assume that the Tahalich is the opposite direction. But still, it's shayach. If a person has a Rebbe, a person has a yeshiva, a person has a makam Torah, it's shayach that, you know, you're meyayetz a person to be with their Rebbe. The Gemara says that Ezra, the great Ezra, who's considered to be second to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra did not come to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel until his Rebbe. His Rebbe was Yirmiyahu's Talmud, Baruch ben Neriah. And Baruch ben Neriah was a chayla and a zakeh and was not able to come to Eretz Yisrael. So Ataka says, Ezra did not leave Eretz Yisrael until Baruch ben Neriah, his Rabbi Mufak, was nifter. So we have Lomo Taira, Lisa Isha, okay, if for whatever reason you can't get a shidduch here, and some inyan of Parnassa, which again needs a Sheilas Chacham. For Shtetzach, Parnassa does not mean I'm Pater from Yishev Haaretz unless I make the same living I made in America. If that would be the getter, there would be no Americans here at all, basically. On the other hand, Chazal were makir that if the alternative is dire anios, however that's defined, male that could break a person, male, you know, there's such a knife of going in. But the point of like the Ramban is, it's a very important yesod. The Ramban is makir that there are heterim. The Ramban is makir there are heterim. But there's a very big nafgamina between saying you need a heter and not even asking the shaila to begin with. I mean, the Rabbi Nesenu Harabim, at least according to the Ramban, Rav of Am Yisrael, don't even ask. No, don't even have a shot. They figure they see. They see chashev of people not coming. They don't even have to ask. Like the Ramban, you have to ask. Maybe the psak is going to be your putter. Maybe the psak is it's not the right thing to do. Avada the Ramban is makir. There are heterim, but without heterim, you're mechuyev to go. Now I want to point out the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that his understanding of the Ramban is that Yishev Haaretz is called a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis. Mitzvah kiyumis is the pshat. If you do it, it's a mitzvah. But it's not something you're mechuyev to do, right? We have in the Torah some mitzvahs you're mechuyev to. I have to put on tefillin. Others, like shechita, if I want to eat meat, you know, I have to shecht, but I'm not mechuyev every day to shecht a behemoth. Tzitzis is not a mitzvah chiyuvis because I'm not mechuyev to put on the beged of Arba Kanfis. Rav Moshe, who's Malamid Zechus on people who don't live here, Rav Moshe says, even like the Ramban, it is only a mitzvah kiyumis, it is not a mitzvah chiyuvis. And Rav Moshe, who could argue with Rav Moshe, but I just have to say that if you look at the lashon of the Ramban, lefi miyat zechlenu, it's almost impossible, according to our level, to see that possible pshat in the Ramban. The Ramban uses the words chiyuv, mechuyev, mechuyev, mechuyev. He uses it over and over again, many, many times. So it's very, very schwer, but Rav Moshe does say that. Did you want to say something?
Yes, we're all here in the Lamed. What about that for the enter? The same
enter,
or
oh, I mean, or the Gola.
Well, yeah,
you mean to leave? No. That's to say that would be nichol in the same heter. In fact, this is the heter that Rashi Yeshiva used. I mean, it's again, you have to done with it. But the emissary is that people who are manhigim or spiritual mashpim on Chutz Laretz, they also have an achrayus, and that's nichlal. Yeah, correct. That's 100% correct. What Orla Gola does would be nichlal in the heter of Lomo Taira, because Lalamed is also nichlal in that.
If you need or if you want, is it you want it enough? It should be that they really need you when you're going to do a toilet that no one else won't do, or is it that you want to be involved in teaching and then you just go to do that?
Well, that's a good question. That would be a shaila within the Ramban, exactly. You know. Now again, I'm going to please remember. So far I've only given you the Ramban. There is the other tzad, which will be more mako, which is the Rambam sheet, which we'll talk about. But this is like the Ramban. Now, I just want to point out that you might ask Akasha, wait a second here. The Ramban lived in the 1200s, and where did the Ramban live? In Catholic Spain. And the Ramban spent most of his life here. And the only reason he went to Eretz Yisrael B'Sayf Yamav is because he was involved in a debate with an apostate Jew, a Yid who became a Galach, Pablo Christiani, and they were debating. This priest was bringing all sorts of, you know, proofs, just like today, missionary proofs from the Gemara, from the Torah, about Yashka, and the Ramban debated them. And the Ramban even wrote a transcript of the debate. It's called the Vikuach HaRamban. It's called, in English, the Dispute at Barcelona. They even, I think, made a play about it. And the good news was, they used to vote on this, that they voted the Ramban won the debate. The bad news was, because he discredited the Catholic Church, they expelled him from Spain. The good news after the bad news was, Memela, he went to Eretz Yisrael. And we have some letters. First of all, his Perish al HaTaira was written in Eretz Yisrael. We have letters he wrote. The Geras Ramban was written from Eretz Yisrael, other letters as well. And the Ramban writes that the more Kadosh the Makom, this is the 1200s, the more Shemama, the Harabayas was more Shemame than... What was the Kaisel then? The Kaisel was like 6 inches, right? Because garbage was piles. 6 inches, imagine, 6 inches, like off the ground. There was not a minion of Yidden in Yerushalayim. They had to get a Sefer Torah from Hebron. They made a little minion. And in the old city, the base Knesset of the Ramban is still, that's the Ramban shul. I mean, it's not exactly the same building there, but it's on the location. That's where the Ramban davened. But you might ask, by the way, he even uses archaeology. At the end of his Perish al HaTaira, he brings a Machlekes Rashi and Taisvis, what the weight of a half shekel is, a machzis a shekel. And Rashi and Taisus had never seen a Machzis HaShekel, so they were just bringing rayas from Gemaras. So the Ramban says he bought a Machzis HaShekel from an Arab, and he waited exactly, and he was machria that Rashi was right. He says, based on when he bought it from an Arab and the like. Right? So the Ramban also used archaeology to be machria, machria the halacha. But the question you're going to ask is, well, wait a second. If Ramban holds Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvis, so why didn't he go until he was kicked out of Spain? It's a very good kasha. We don't have a full answer. But it could be that the Ramban held that the trip to Eretz Yisrael under those matzavim was a matzav of pikuach nefesh mamish. We don't really realize how dangerous it was, the land travel and the sea travel, and you had pirates, and you had wild animals, and you had ganavim. And Taisus and Ksuvus already brings a sheet of Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, Taisus brings in Kesuvos that Bisman Hazer. Now, not Bisman Hazer, Bisman of Taisus. That Bisman Hazer, there was a heter of Pikuach Nefesh because it was Sakana. Now, sometimes people say, "Oh, Pikuach Nefesh." I mean, obviously, it makes no sense. You can't take a statement from the 1200s. That the matzav of traveling to Eretz Yisrael was Pikuach Nefesh and say, "Oh, I have a heter because of Pikuach Nefesh." I mean, the matzav is Nishtana, and Baruch Hashem, it should continue. Eretz Yisrael, by and large, is actually a much, much safer place. I mean, Baruch Hashem, you see kids walking around. We're right a block away from East Jerusalem, but children walk around. I mean, things happen here, but things happen everywhere. Things happen in New York City, too. So Pikuach Nefesh, B'derech Klal, is not a meaningful heter in this particular matzah. Now, I want to point out another thing for much later. We have the Ramban, and we can't say we have a clear hachra what the halacha is, but I will say that the Vilna Gaon actually was machria that the halacha is like the Ramban. I'll talk about the Rambam in a moment. And as you know, the Vilna Gaon himself wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, and he actually left Vilna to come to Eretz Yisrael. But for reasons that are very mysterious, Ad Hayayim Hazeh, he turned back at Amsterdam and went back. His Talmidim say, beautiful thought, his Talmidim say that the Gaon was a Gilgal or a Nitzitz of the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the same way it was Nigzer al Moshe Rabbeinu, that he couldn't be Nichnas Liyaretz. So it was Nigzer. We don't know how it happened exactly, but it was Nigzer that the Gaon could not enter Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps he would have brought Mashiach, it wouldn't have been ready, and you know, whatever the reason. But you do know that the Talmidei Hagra, many Talmidei Hagra did come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Talmidei Hagra were not only involved in yeshivas and kailalim, but they were actually involved in the physical aspects of Binyan Haaretz. They bought a lot of land, they built a lot of buildings. A lot of the shkunos outside of the old city walls are from the Talmidei Hagra, whether it's Nachal HaShiva, which now is the nightclubs and everything else, but Nachal HaShiva was like almost the first, I think it may have been the first one outside of the walls of the old city. Mea Sharim, Yamin Moshe, of course. The Moshe is Moses Montefiore, who was the great British philanthropist, but he was working with the Talmidim of the Gra, who had all of these plans and the like. And in fact, there's a sefer from Rav Hillel of Shklov, who was a Talmud of the Gra, and the brother of the Pas HaShulchan. Pas HaShulchan is kemat the Iker Sefer of Psak on Mitzvahs Tulios Be'aretz, Pas HaShulchan. That was written by Rav Yisrael of Shklov, and his brother was Rav Hillel of Shklov. So Rav Hillel of Shklov wrote a sefer that is called Kol HaTor. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Kol HaTor means the voice of the turtle dove. It's from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Kol HaTor Nishma Biartzenu. And this is a sefer of the teachings of the Gaon on the Inyan of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Binyan Haaretz, some other topics as well. It's based on Kabbalah, a lot of gematrias. It's a very, very difficult sefer to go to Cheshbon, but essentially it emphasizes the idea that according to the Gaon, the notion of Mashiach ben Yosef, who is supposed to come before Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach ben Yosef is a very mysterious figure. Chazal only mention it in the Gemara twice, two lines about Mashiach ben Yosef. We almost know nothing about it, but the Gra says Mashiach ben Yosef is not only a person, but it's a certain kayach. And the way the Graz Magdar it is, Mashiach ben Yosef is like the physical hachanas for Geula, getting Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, building up Eretz Yisrael, and that paves the way for the ruchnius of Mashiach ben David. So now I want to point out that there were Charedim who thought Kol HaTor must be a forgery. They said there's no way the Graz going to talk about building up Eretz Yisrael physically as a positive mila, and they were tining it's a forgery, it's a ziyuf. Alright, but I have to say that it's pretty well established that it was not. Rav Chaim Friedlander, the Mashgiach of Panovich, wrote a Haskama, etc. So today, except among some Kanoim, it is Mokobel as an authentic teaching. There's another part of the book also that's very controversial. The Kanoim didn't like this either. There's a chapter there where the Gra talks about the milus of Chachmas Kitzanius, of knowing science and knowing everything. And that's where there's a famous remark that for every measure of Chachma you don't know, you're missing 10 measures of Torah that you don't understand. there too, they said that was a Ziyaf. Okay, Vavzeder, but this is a Sefer Kol HaTorah. So you see from the Gra, now the Gra wasn't talking about having a state necessarily. I mean, the Gra was Niftubi hundreds of years before there was a state. But the idea of Yishuv HaAretz, the Gaon says, is an integral chelik of Geula. That is the Kayach of Mashiach ben Yosef that is prepares the Geula for Mashiach ben David. Yeah. Okay, so this is a long arichas. What the Gra basically says is that it's shayach for Klal Yisrael to be taifes the midah of Mashiach ben Yosef, and if it's nispashet among the Am, Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't have to be killed. He actually says there's a bypassing of that tahor.
Would it be two Mashiachs?
Maybe two Mashiach ben Yosefs?
No, one Mashiach ben Yosef, one Mashiach ben David.
Well, that's the normal. That's the normal way it would work. I mean, the normal way it's described is there's a man called Mashiach ben Yosef. That's Nerag in Milchama, and then there's Mashiach ben David. And
he doesn't die. That means he'll become Mashiach.
No, he doesn't become Mashiach. I mean, maybe he'll die naturally, but the idea that he'll be killed in a war as part of the Geula, that his destruction is necessary for Geula, that can be bypassed. That can be bypassed. Just like the Gemara itself says that all Chavle Mashiach can be bypassed if a person is Zoyer in the Gimel Sudas of Shabbos, right? You know, that's the famous Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that if you eat three Sudas B'Shabbos, you're Nitzal Mechavle Mashiach. It's even in the Zemiros, Mechavle Mashiach, Yitzalu Lirvacha, right? That's based on the Gemara in Shabbos. So there are a fanon in which the various Yisurin of Mashiach can be avoided or bypassed, and the Gra says Mashiach Ben Yosef also can be, his destruction can be bypassed in various ways.
Is it living in the time of Mashiach ben Yosef?
Well, this is the mashmos of the Gaon. In other words, the Gaon was mashma that already in his time, and he even gave a year, like in the beginning of the 1800s, he says that was already the tekufa of Mashiach ben Yosef, the tekufa of Binyan Haaretz and Kibbutz Golias. So, now I just want to point out the other side of this, just so you know the other side. The other side is, of course, the Shitas HaRambam. Maimonides, Rambam. Now, here, the problem is this. The Rambam doesn't say beferish, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah. He doesn't say it that way. He just doesn't count it. So, it's already a little schwer. How do you interpret a negative? A hashmata, right? You don't have a pshat in a hashmata automatically. So here, there are two ways, two mahalchim in the Rambam. And this may depend. I mean, I'll call one the Dati Lumi interpretation and one the... But again, I don't mean to say it in any negative way, but the Dati Lumi interpretation is that the Rambam, in essence, is maida to the Rambam. That there's a chi of the Araisa. But it's not counted in the 613 mitzvahs for a technical reason. And the technical reason is the following. If you ever learn Sefer HaMitzvos, which, by the way, is a absolutely gewaldig limud, you really ought to learn it. The Brisker Rav said on himself that he felt he became a Talmud Chacham by analyzing the Machloksim, the Ramban, and the Rambam on the Sefer HaMitzvos. Like, what is this mitzvah? What is that mitzvah? Tremendous amount of limud. It's a very, 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 very chashuv a limud. But before the Rambam enumerates the mitzvahs, you may recall, he has klalim. What do you include? What don't you include? Because this is important. Because this is a big problem. If you got to come up with 613, you have a big problem, because the number of commandments in the Torah is much more than 613. So you kind of have to create a structure. Well, I don't count every step in a korban chatas, shechita, kabbalah, zerika. I don't count that as a separate mitzvah, but I kind of combine it and say korban chatas, right? So you have to have rules. So one of the rules the Rambam devised, based on his understanding, was you don't count as a mitzvah chiyuvim to keep the whole Torah. So the Torah says a lot of times, Ushmartem etz mitzvosai, keep my Torah. Well, is there a mitzvah called keep the mitzvahs? Is there a mitzvah called keep the Torah? The Rambam says no, because that's not adding anything. That's just saying, keep everything I told you. So the Rambam says, we don't count in the Minyan HaMitzvahs a tzivoy to keep all the mitzvahs. So the Dati Lumi position is this. Based on the teaching that every single mitzvah achieves its maximum fulfillment only in Eretz Yisrael, we don't count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a separate mitzvah, because if the Torah says keep Shabbos, that could only be an Eretz Yisrael b'shleimus. Keep kashrus, keep shatnas, keep tefillin. So instead of looking at it as a separate mitzvah, it is seen as part of the mechayev of every single mitzvah bichlal. So seen in this way, the Dati Lumi position, again, I'm not saying this pejoratively, the Dati Lumi position is that the Rambam is maida, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, but it's nichlal in the tzivoy of keeping kol ha-tayra kula. Yeah.
Why is the makar for that idea?
Oh, yeah, a makar for that idea you clearly do have. And the makar for that idea is a sifri that Rashi in Chumash brings, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that even when you're in Golus, you should keep the mitzvahs in order that you'll have tziyunim, reminders when you come back. And vice dechais, in other words, that the bechina of mitzvahs b'chutz la'aretz is only tziyunim, not no pun intended with Zionism, tziyunis. Right. So that there would be a makor for that svar in Rashi, in Chazal. Now, that's one mahalach, which according to that, dati lumi position, and again, I'm not using this in a negative way at all, Ramban and Rambam would lamaisa be maskim there's a chiyuv. However, the standard mahalach of the Acharonim is not like this. The standard mahalach of the Acharonim, including the Sefer Megillas Esther, again, unusual title, but if you look at the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you'll see that the main perish on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam is a Sefer called Megillas Esther, which was written, the Mechaber wrote it in memory of his mother, so it's called Megillas Esther. And the Megillas Esther learns, and most Acharonim learn, in the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that living in Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah chiyuvis b'zman hazeh. And the Nesivis, we have a letter from the Nesivis who says that the heter of Yidden to remain in Golos, the heter, is miyusad on the Shitas HaRambam. Okay, not like the Dati Liumi understanding. The Nesivis wrote such a letter. But be it as it may, it's important to understand that even if, and I'll get to the Gemara and Kesuvos, that's very important, even if we say that the Rambam holds there's no chiyuv, let's learn like the Megillas Esther, but in Hilchos Malachim it's a Dover Boror, that he is Mishabeach, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and he brings all the Mamari Chazal at the end of Kesuvos that talk about the holiness of living here, the uniqueness of living here, the Kirvas Elokim. In other words, the Rambam was not negating the Kirvas Elokim of living in Eretz Yisrael. He was just saying it doesn't turn into a mitzvah chiyuvis in that way. In fact, if you know your history, well, first of all, the Rambam is buried here, but if you know your history, the Rambam was born in Spain at a time when it was under Islamic occupation, the Moors, not Catholic when the Ramban was. And because of the Almohads, which were a very fanatical Islamic sect, his family was running from country to country to country for Pikuach Nefesh and Shmat. And they actually did come to Eretz Yisrael when the Rambam was around 11 or 12. And the Rambam actually lived in Eretz Yisrael for around a year before his bar mitzvah. And he was zeicha to daven at the Kaisel, whatever the Kaisel was then, whatever it showed. And he writes in one of his letters that the rest of his life, he spent most of his life in Egypt, the rest of his life, on the day that he was zeicha to be mishtateach by the Harabayas, he made that day a Yom Tov. He made that day a special Yom Tov his whole life in terms of remembering.
The Rambam,
in one of his Igris, the Rambam's letters. So the Rambam made it a Yom Tov. In fact, the Rambam even says something that no Paisek would tell you today, but it's a Mefarish Gemara, but no Paisek follows it. It says, better to live in Eretz Yisrael in a city that is 100% Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and not live in Chutz La'aretz in a city that is called Yisrael. So, I don't know, if you'd ask the Rambam, should I live in Lakewood or should I move to Ramallah? I don't know, just reading, putting aside Pikuach Nefesh issues, that's a separate matter. I don't know, I just read the Rambam. The Rambam says, better to be in Ramallah than in Lakewood. Now again, I can't imagine anyone giving us that psak today, but as I stay. Okay. Now, the issue is this. The issue, one very big issue that's raised, you know, we know that Neturei Karta down the street tonight is declaring a tinus. And there are signs up, if you look at the signs, This is like Tisha B'Av. This is the day of the Churban, the Hakamas HaMedina. And again, remember that Neturei Kartus Hisnagdus to a Medina is not only because not religious, it's secular. I mean, that's a lot of it. But the emes is, as the Satmar Rav said, he wouldn't care even if the Chafetz Chaim would be the prime minister of the state of Israel. He says it is usser to establish a political state until the Zman of the Geula. Not because it's secular, but because it's usser to do it. And this is miyusad on a famous Gemara in Ksuvas, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. And this is called the Braisa of the Three Shavuos. And the Satmar Rav wrote his Svarim based on this Braisa. And this is the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Hishpati Eschem B'Nais Yerushalayim. Right, the woman in Shir HaShirim is calling to the daughters of Jerusalem to make a Shavua. Im Ta'iru V'im Ta'iru Es Ha'ava. Do not stir up, do not awaken Hashem's love. Ad shetechpatz, till it comes of its own desire. So the Gemara says in Kesuvos that at the time of the Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed three oaths, three shavuos, on Am Yisrael. Now the Maral says, this doesn't mean historically people actually said, in other words, when it says Hashem was mashpias, this means in Ruchnius, in other words, Hashem was geyser. There's no event we actually made a shavua, but it says Hashem imposed three oaths upon us. Oath number one is Lo Yalu B'chaima, which literally means we will not climb the wall, and Rashi explains that means we will not try to gain Eretz Yisrael by Kibush Milchama. The Emes, I just want to point out, the Megillas Esther asks, that's a direct steer to the Ramban, because if, according to the Ramban, the first component of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is Kibush Milchama, how is it Shayach Shvua not to do Kibush Milchama? That's a Nishba Lavor Satayra. That's the Megillas Esther's Kasha on the Ramban. The second Shvua is Lo Yimridu Ba'umais. We promised Hashem we would be loyal citizens of whatever country we live in. We're not going to try to rebel. Of course, Jews haven't kept that one either. Jews were active in the American Revolution, in the French Revolution, in the Russian Revolution. We were quite active in many, many different revolutions. But the Shavua is, we don't try to disrupt the government. What's the old joke about when you used to apply for citizenship, probably still, you have to sign a petition. Yeah, you have to answer a question. Do you advocate the destruction of the United States by force, rebellion, or espionage? So somebody said, I didn't know I had to answer multiple choice questions. You know, okay, anyway. But the thing is, so that's the second shvua. Yeah.
Does the fact that the UN voted that we have
this taken? Ah, very good. That's going to be very important. I'll come to that. Now, the third shvua, and this is a kasha on Chabad, actually, too, is Lo Yitchaku Es Haketz. Lo Yitchaku Es Haketz. Lo Yitchaku Es Haketz means don't try to force the coming of Mashiach except through Tyra and Maisim Tovim. Don't have any direct campaigns to bring Geula. We want Mashiach now. Okay. I mean, the problem basically is, and you see this in many Maisim of Mekubalim, that there are Eifanim to bring the Geula, but if Klal Yisrael in Ruchnius is not yet ready, it could be a devastating, destructive process. It's like releasing an atom bomb, you know, in the wrong place, so to speak. So the Gemara says there are three Shavuos. So the Satmar Rav Tainis, that to establish a Hakamas HaMedina before the coming of Geula is a chisorn of Yalu B'chaima, because the philosophy behind this is that Golos was nigzer by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's Arach Rayas to be Seivel the Golos until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we're ready. Now, even that position is not against living in Eretz Yisrael. Yetzirei Karta people live in Eretz Yisrael. They're not against living here, but they're against what is called shiltein. They're against the concept of Medina, of shiltonus. They say it's a violation of Lol Yalu B'chayim. Now, I want to point out that although Yetzirei Karta B'zman Hazeh is a minority position, to be sure, I do want to point out that before 1948, it actually was a much more widely held perception than it is today of Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch, who we don't look at the Yetzirei Karta, had a shita very, very similar to that. Rav Hirsch, of course, was a lover of Eretz Yisrael, but if you look, Rav Hirsch did not think a state was the right solution. Even the Reform movement, not for the same reason, not because of the Gemara, but the Reform movement, which is now a big Zionist movement, right? Reform is the whole thing, is Zionism. The Reform movement was against Zionism too. They were very much against Zionism. It's interesting how things work. The Reform movement was against Zionism and the state because they said Judaism is only a religion. It's not a nationality. As opposed to some of the Frum, like the Netziv, they said Judaism is also a nation. So it's interesting, the people who didn't practice the religion, like the Reform, they say, Judaism is only a religion. The people who practice the religion, they said Judaism is also a nation. You know, so it's an interesting switch. So the emes is, that position was Mekubal, but the reason why Bederech Klal, most Gedolei Torah, did not accept it is two reasons. One is, in 1917, when Israel was under the British mandate, or Palestine as it was called, was under the British mandate, and there was the Balfour Declaration. Okay, the Balfour Declaration was the official proclamation from the British governments that Jews can have a state. So, or at least the Jewish homeland. It didn't say state, Jewish homeland. So the Chafetz Chaim, it is said, he was still alive then, the Chafetz Chaim said, Baruch Hashem, the neder, or the shavua, has been nisbatel. And the Chafetz Chaim's cheshbon is, the isser of lo yalu b'chayma is to establish a homeland or a state keneged the haskama of the umos ha'olam. Because we're not zoicher for that until Mashiach comes. But since the Israel was recognized as a state, number one, by the British government and later by the United Nations in 1948, so b'chi ha'gavne, it was not a violation of lo yalu b'chayma, because it came b'haskamas ha'umais. If afterwards we had to fight because we were attacked, that wasn't a war to establish a state, that was a war to defend what the umais had already been makir. The other mahalach is in the name of Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, although it's unfortunately not in his svarim, it's not in the Meshech Chachma, but it's in letters that he wrote. Again, the Or Sameach was also died before 1948, so he was not directly involved in 1948. But he tainis like this. He tainis, if you look at the Gemara, you'll find that kishem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashbia three shavuos on Am Yisrael, he was mashbia another shavua on the Umas Ha'ilam. And that shvuah on the Umos Ha'ilam is Lo Yishtabdu Yibi Yisrael Yaser Midai. So there's a package deal here. We agree to be passive. We agree to be accepting. We agree not to rock the boat. We agree not to try to establish a shiltein until the Geula comes. But it's on the Tanai that they're not Mishtabid us Yaser Midai. Now, In a contract where people make these shavuos to, etc., it's habo hatalia, and since it's a davar pashut, Rav Meir Simcha said that the umos ha'olam have vadai not lived up to their tactic, whether it's the pogroms, the crusades, and of course the aftermath of the Holocaust, the great korban, memela, that takes off any yischaivus of the shavuah. This is not now. The three shavuos is not the only issue. That's why the three shavuos is not, according to most, is not as serious a shaila as the Yetzirei Karta would have it. And of course, keep in mind you have another issue. The issue is pikuach nefesh. I mean, let's assume you are in a Yetzirei Karta. Let's assume you believe that there should not have been a state of Israel in 1948. And let's assume it was keneged halacha to establish a medina. It's an aveira. But Lamaisa, you now have a medina that has millions and millions of people here. So what do you say? Give it back to the Palestinians? I mean, some in Turkey just say that. They meet with Ahmadinejad. They meet with a guy in Iran. I don't want to call anyone a lunatic, but at that particular matzif, you know, in other words, the issue becomes this. At some point, it's not simply a shaila, yes Medina, no Medina. It's a shaila of pikuach nefesh of millions and millions of people. And that's a different mindset. But when you look at the Brisker Rav has an interesting, the Brisker Rav, as you know, came to Eretz Israel. Well, first of all, Rav Chaim, Brisker Rav, we always call Rav Velvel the Brisker Rav. I mean, Rav Chaim was the Brisker Rav too, obviously. Rav Chaim and the Beis Halevi, they were the Brisker Rav before the Brisker Rav. But Rav Velvel was the last Brisker Rav. He came after the Holocaust. Rav Chaim was a very, very big kanoi, very much against Zionists. He was very, very anti-Zionist. Even though Brisk had many, many people who were Zionist. And there are famous meisim that when Herzl died, the Kehillah wanted to give a big, big hesped in the main shul. And Rav Chaim said, absolutely not. And Rav Chaim ordered the shul to be barred with chains, so that when people came to give a hesped, they couldn't get in. And the Gabbai took an axe, and the Gabbai broke the chains and went in. And afterwards, he went to Rav Chaim crying. He says, he gave Rav Chaim back the chain and the key and says, I'm sorry, I'll never do this again, but this is the one time whatever. But Rav Chaim was a big kanoi. Rav Chaim was a big kanoi against this. And the Brisker Rav, as you know, was also a big kanoi. In fact, it's interesting that Rav Chaim's son split a little bit. Rav Velvel, who came to Eretz Israel, was the anti-Tzioni. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who came to America, became part of Mizrahi. And Rav Moshe's son was Rav Yashaber Soloveitchik of YU, again a great Talmud Chacham. So this is what they say about Brisk. The Briskers in Eretz Israel are the anti-Zionists, and the Briskers in Chutz La'aretz are the Zionists. That's an interesting point. But the Brisker Rav said, and I don't have a clear mahalach here, because the Brisker Rav said a number of things which are a little contradictory. The Brisker Rav, who was known as a big anti-Zionist, did say that the establishment of, or the opportunity of a Jewish state in 1948 was a smile from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving a nechama to the Chorban of Europe in the Holocaust, which indicates that he saw this as a matana from Hashem. Now, it's hard to reconcile that with the many, many statements he made against the Medina, but I think the way we have to understand it is that the Brisker Rav, unlike the Turei Karta, did take the position that the Shavuos were neater, and this was a hiskalus from Hashem, that there was a great opportunity to create Kedusha, but it got niskalkel. You know, the Ger Rebbe once said, it's a chaval that Shuva was stolen by the Balei Tshuva, and Zionism was stolen by the Zionists. Because he says, they both represent Kaychais, which could have been turned to tremendous Kedusha. Well, Balei Tshuva took it for Kedusha, but what he's saying is, in other words, we kind of say, oh, you're a Balei Tshuva, you do Tshuva. It's kind of, Tshuva is for Balei Tshuva. What does that mean? Tshuva, everyone has to do Tshuva. We all have Tshuva. So you're saying it's a chaval that Tshuva got connected to Balei Tshuva. Like, that's the famous story. An Or Sameach Talmud went to the Ger Rebbe and said, I learned an Or Sameach, but I'm not a Balei Tshuva. So the Rebbe said, you're not a Balei Tshuva? Why aren't you a Balei Tshuva? What type of yid is not a Balei Tshuva? And so he says, so it's like Balei Tshuva stole Tshuva, in a good way, and Zionist stole Zionism. So the Brisker Rav saw the ability to have kibbutz goliath as a wonderful kayach, it got niskalkal. But that's different than the Turei Karta. See, the Turei Karta is saying the whole thing is a maisa satan. The Brisker Rav didn't look at it that way. The Brisker Rav saw it as a positive thing, but it got niskalkal in various ways. That's a very different mahalach.
How did the Samarav, what was the source to say a satan had so much kayach to do so much?
Well, this is what he says. He says that, if you read the Satmar writings, and by the way, the Satmar Rav was a big gadol b'Torah. I mean, there's no question. And his arguments are powerful arguments. But he basically claims that this is a time of Nisayan, that yes, the Sitra Achra has tremendous kochas. I mean, you see this historically. I mean, how did Christianity begin? You know, Christians say the fact that Christianity for hundreds and hundreds of years dominated the world, isn't that the ultimate proof that Yashka is right? Or now it's Islam, right? The answer is, it's not a raya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes allows Kocho Satuma to be Miskabir. The Satmar Rav considered the whole spreading of Tzionos as a Kfirah Bashem. Yeah.
I understand. How come Satmar, they won't go to the Kaisal?
Yeah, that's there are two different issues here. Number one, again, they don't want to be nene from anything that came from a Tamei Dikah Mekor, and since they say the liberation of the Kaisel came through the,
we agree that the Shekhinah never leaves the Kaisel.
That's true. But they don't want to do anything that gives chashivas or legitimacy to what the army did. Now they give a nice mushel. Yeah. Well, they say they lived here before 1948. They say that they lived here when it was under Britain. They lived here when it was under Arab. They say they... See, even in Turei Karta, there's Orthodox and Reform in Turei Karta. If you're a Haredish in a Turei Karta, you don't even allow the city to take out your garbage. You burn it, you do it yourself, you do something. The reformed Turei Karta say, well, I'm allowed to take municipal services. I can take city services because that's not in Medina, right? So they have kulas too. In the Turei Karta, there are different kulas, but a bona fide one that gets, like, you know, will try not to be nene from anything. They'll have their own generator, not just for Shabbos reasons, but they don't want to benefit from electricity, whatever. I don't know what they do for a phone. I don't know.
So I understand that the Tashba school system that's funded by Samar, but the Chazni said that's lechachila. Really, you shouldn't take money from it.
Okay, so here I just want to point out that this is really a different issue of Neturei Karta. See, Neturei Karta is unique because they're a misnage to the concept of a Medina. But now we have another cheshbon. Let's assume, like the Briska Rav says, that the Medina was a gift from Hashem that could have been used in good ways. But Lamaisa, we have the problem that the people who run the governments, usually, not religious, anti-religious, etc. So then you get an issue about hischabrus. This is a separate issue. Hischabrus to Rishayim, hischabrus, etc. So what the Chazon Ish was afraid of, I mean, Rav Shach, everybody was afraid of, is that whoever gives you your money controls you, and that's a reality. So the fear was, the more a yeshiva or a kailel or a maisad or a school system depends on government money, the more the government is a balabayas to come in and say, you got to teach this, you got to do this, you got to do this. So the lechatchila dikah rule of a maisad is to try not to get... Now, again, many people break down. We break down. I mean, you know, we need the money. But what the Chazon Ish is saying is, if lechatchila you can create a situation where you're not economically tolui on a secular government, that's better. Not because... It's not even because, you know, oh, they're bad people. That's not a judgment. It's not even a negative judgment on them. But the concept is that if you want to have something al-Tairis HaKadosh, you don't want someone to be able to control your budget. In fact, this is really why Volozhin closed down. People make a big mistake. You know, the great Volozhin yeshiva, the greatest yeshiva of Europe, closed down in the 1890s. The Nitziv and Rav Chaim were both the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. And the Velt says that Volozhin closed down because the Russian government wanted them to introduce secular studies for a certain part of the day. But that's not the whole picture, because the emes is... All right, there's a whole story about this. The Nitziv was not misnaget to a certain amount of secular studies. The Nitziv was misnaget to the Russian government having a shlita in the curriculum. In other words, if the yeshiva mitzad itself would simply teach an hour a day something, you know, the Nitziv was not against that. The Nitziv was involved in chachmas chitzonius. But the Nitziv said, if the Russian government is going to come in and supervise us and watch us and determine what we're doing, he says, that's a tremendous sakana. Because they'll say, too much Gemara, you need to do more Tanakh. In other words, when you have people who are antagonistic to Torah controlling what is taught, right? So that's the problem. So that is really nothing to do with... I mean, look, Hashbar mitzad atzma is because of the Neturei Karta Hashkafa. But the Chazai Nish's endorsement is lav mitame. In other words, it's not because of that. It's really a separate cheshvan. Yeah.
Another sheet, I don't know, that he said about Shem Tov, that is against this whole idea of what's found in the Kol HaTorah of everything happening physically slowly, what they call Kima Kima, but there is a Shita saying, at least for Ashkafa, except for the Shavuos and the Gemara, the Gula is supposed to come in more of a one-shot type.
That's correct. There was the Kol HaTorah's idea that we have to start things with Derech HaTeva, and then that brings Moshiach, is not totally muskim. Some say, and part of what's nichlal in the Turi Kartos Hashkafa is that Gula is not kima kima in that sense. That's right. That's correct. That would be the other side of it. Yeah.
Those people support Palestinians and go marches and call for the destruction of Israel. What's this rubber? Are they just crazy
Which people are you talking about?
The extreme ones, like, you know, Shabbat.
Well, I think they are crazy people. I don't think the Satmar Rav would be maskim. And the truth is that even the leadership of Neturei Karta often disassociates from these Kanoim. I mean, how can you embrace a person who wants to destroy Yidden? And good. So let's say you call a certain Yid, a Russia, a Koif, or whatever it is, but, you know, do you embrace Hitler? You know, Hitler killed Jews who were not religious too. I mean, you know, the thing is this, and this is a point I want to talk about. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, when we have this Yom HaTzmaut business, and again, I don't want to make too much about semantics. You know, some people say they b'dafka hate the word Yom HaTzmaut because HaTzmaut is independence, freedom. Jews don't celebrate freedom. Even Pesach is about, we were Avdei Parah, and now we're Avdei Hashem. Hatikva, Liyais Am Chofshi B'Yartzeinu. The goal is to be free. The goal is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. By the way, a little trivia. Hatikva was written by a maskil in Poland, Naftoli Hirsch Imber. He was kind of a drunken, he was an unemployed guy. He was not so much liach in life, but he was not religious. But he wrote. He was a poet, kind of a Luftmensch, we call him. He was a poet, and he wrote Hatikva. And it wasn't written as a national anthem. It was written as a poem expressing the yearning of Jews for Eretz Yisrael. And the last line, as he wrote it, if you look at the original Hatikva, was not Leo Samchafshi. It was actually a much more traditional line. It says, to return to the land, I don't remember the exact version, El Eretz Avoseinu, return to the land of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that Hashem had promised us. That is the original Hatikva. When the Jewish agency adopted this poem as the national anthem, they changed the last two lines to make it more Leos Amchavshi. So you can't even blame the poet. Even the poet, who was not even religious, the poet was had a firmer hashkafa than the song. So people don't like Yom HaTzmaut, the words. People don't like Leos Amchavshi. I've heard a pshara that fits the song. Some people say, well, just say it this way: Leos Amkadosh B'Artzeinu. Instead of Chafshi, just say Kadosh. You know, so you got it. All right. Some people don't like the Declaration of Independence of Israel. You know, Israel has a Declaration of Independence. Dan Ben-Gurion, all these guys signed it. Some from people signed it as well. And it's pointed out that in the Declaration of Independence of the State of Israel, the name of Hashem does not appear because there was a machlekes. Some were maminim, some were not maminim. So they used a lashon that would satisfy everybody, taken from Tefillah, Sur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. So if you're a Maimon, Sur Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're not a Maimon, it's the destiny of the Jews, the history of the Jews, the foundation of the Jews. In other words, it could be whatever you want it to be. And they point out, in the United States of America, July 4th, 1776, Hashem is mentioned a number of times in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that our Creator has given us, you know, capital C, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, etc. Every coin, every matbeah in the United States has "In God We Trust." And I don't know why the Supreme Court has not declared that unconstitutional, because the Supreme Court normally says you're not allowed to have any mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schools. But legally, I don't know why they allow it, but they still allow this. All money's to God, and God we trust. That's what the God is, I hear. Very good. That's the God we trust, yeah. Yep. Yeah, you want to say?
Yeah, what we say about the first Shavu was that you cannot conquer Israel, right?
Yeah, lo yavu b'cham, you don't conquer, right.
But then the 70 United Nations gave over the promises, not the Nazareth.
That's correct.
What about they gave certain amounts, what about what we conquered after this?
So the Taina is like this. So the Taina would be the following. Every war that Israel has had, Israel was not the aggressor. They were attacked in 48, they were attacked in 56, the Sinai, they were attacked in 67. Now, if as a result of being attacked, we then conquer more, but since that was in the context of defending against an attack, that's not nichlal in a war of aggression. That would be nichlal in a war of defense. That would be the cheshbon. Yeah, even preemptive would be the same thing. Yeah.
We mentioned that since the United Nations gave us this permission at the beginning,
yeah.
You say that this Shavuot was battle.
Yes.
So even
not that it was battle, but it didn't apply. Meaning it doesn't. It only applied.
Not
battle. That's correct. I just want to add one thing. I'll take a question. I just want to add one thing. That before Yom HaAtzmaut, today was Yom HaZikaron. They call it right? Yom HaZikaron. And here there is an important point. I think a Ben Torah has to be makir. We all know that Hakaras HaTov is a very big yisait in being a yid. And Ad Kedei Kach, the Tosfos Emes says, that's why Jews are called Yehudim. Leah called her fourth son Yehuda, because she said, Hapam Oides Hashem. I am now grateful to Hashem. Why was she grateful with son number four? So Rashi says, she knew with Ruach HaKodesh there would be 12 Shvatim. And she knows there are four wives, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah. So she figures the first three is coming to her. She's not grateful. When she has the fourth, she got more than her chelek, she's grateful. So the Tosfos Emes says, beautiful word, a Jew has to go through life feeling, Hashem has given me more than I deserve, more than my chelek. I'm a Yehudi. Beautiful word. The whole yesod of a Yehudi is hakaras hatov. Now here you have to understand that even if one has all sorts of tainus, of secularism, hisnagdus, but when there are soldiers, religious or not, who have given their lives so that Jews can live here, one has to understand that there is a chiyuv of hakaras hatov. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, great gadol b'Torah, great reshiva of Mir, would speak often about the fact that you have to look at a chayal as somebody who is moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Maybe he's a tinok shenishba, maybe he's ignorant, didn't have an opportunity. But a person who gives his life so that other Jews will be able to live and do what they need to do is deserving of respect. And the emes is, all kiruv has to come from the respect and the chashivas you show another person. If another person gets the message that they're garbage, that they're worthless, that they're nothing, that's not going to bring them to a Torah, that's not going to bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea of Yom HaZikaron, now again, whether you stand up, whether you observe the moment of silence, I mean, I told people today, when you're b'farhesia, you should do what people are doing, otherwise it's a chilul Hashem, people think you don't care. But sinah, you're not mechuyev necessarily to take on what is arbitrarily defined as an observance, But the notion of hakaras hatayif for people who are meiser nefesh is a big inyan. Now, for shteitzach, we believe that those of us who are zocher to learn Torah are also contributing, and also maybe they're the main contributors to the military security of Eretz Yisrael. Torah brings down Hashem's bracha. Torah brings down the kayach to survive enemies. When people say, how come all these religious Jews don't do anything for the state of Israel? You all do plenty for the state of Israel. You do plenty for the Jewish people. The whole survival of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is totally on those who learn Torah. But the people who protect Eretz Yisrael in other ways are also doing something for Eretz Yisrael. And they do deserve hakaras hatov. So whatever one's position on Yom HaAtzmaut as a celebration, there is an inyan on Yom HaZikaron. It doesn't have to be this day either. This day was just a day. But as an attitude generally, the notion of appreciating the sacrifices that people make. Same thing in America. Sometimes it happens, the older generation of religious Jews in America are by and large not as frum as their grandchildren. Very often a common pattern in America. You know, if you go back to the orthodoxy of America 50 years ago, so there was mixed dancing, there was mixed swimming, you know, people would put the television on a timer. You know, now their grandchildren don't even have television, you know, and this and that. And sometimes the later generations look down at the earlier generations as kalim, as not so frum, and not so... But the emphasis is, everything that the later Doris achieve is on the shoulders of the sacrifices of those earlier Doris. So one has to have a certain sensitivity towards the sacrifices that people do make. And I think that's an important attitude that we should not look down, but we should have hakara sataif. That's a very big insight. Because when a person stops having hakara sataif, there's something within them that is not totally following the derech haTorah in that way. What about hakara sataif to the Medina? Well, this is a... What did they say? The Chafetz Chaim once told the story. It wasn't about this, but the Samar Madana, about a fellow who was digging a bore b'rishus harabim. He was digging a bore, and somebody walked by and fell into the bore and like broke his leg, broke his hip, suffered very serious injury. So the person who dug the bore took him home. He was metapo with him. He gave him food and medical care and a beautiful bed. And people didn't know why he was so hospitable, but people were saying, what a tzaddik, what a chassid. He's doing everything to take care of this person. But the answer was, yeah, but if this person wouldn't have dug in the bore, he wouldn't have been hurt in the first place. So someone would be Madama. You know, you have the Medina that's doing all these wonderful things for the difficult matzav the people were in. But some say if the Medina would have been properly constituted, al pi Torah, there wouldn't have been all these saras. So it's like they dig the bore, people fall in, and then they try to be misakin. Okay, but be it as it may, I think hakara sataif is in order for everything. Because b'derech klal, we should be makir the taiv, even if it's not b'shleimus. And then, b'ezras Hashem, perhaps the B'nai Torah could be a hashpah the taiv on society as a whole. Okay, so stop here.